Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
A gorgeous young wife, just 29, shot dead while she's just outside her home preparing for a garage sale. No rape, no sex assault, no theft. So what could possibly be the motive? Was it a hit? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Gunned down in her own driveway. Who killed Elizabeth Barraza?
Joining me, Elizabeth's parents and her widow, trying to make sense of a case that seemingly has stumped police. And you know what? Very often we think, oh, well, the police aren't trying. They screwed up the scene. They fill in the blank. But this case is highly, highly unusual. I know this is going to pain the mom and dad, the widow, to hear what we are going to play. But I want all of our viewers and all of our listeners to hear this. Help us make sense of who murdered this gorgeous young wife. Listen.
Is she alive?
Yeah, she's been taken to the hospital.
Was she a father? Is she
alive? She is alive.
You are hearing body cam sound, body cam, what police officers wear on their bodies, and you are hearing Bob and Rosemary Nelly as they are learning about their daughter's shooting. Joining me, not only her widow, but her parents. Bob and Rosemary, thank you for being with us. Thank you so much. In a case that seemingly has stumped law enforcement, I can't help but think this was anything other than a hit. But we are hearing you in the background. We are hearing you, Bob, speaking out. Tell us, Bob and Rosemary, what happened that day.
We had been alerted by her alarm company that her alarm was going off and they'd not been able to reach her. We were sort of like a second notification. And we tried to call her, and we didn't get her. And my wife, Rosemary, said, get dressed, we're going. And we were in the car probably within 3 or 4 minutes and drove over to her home. It's usually about a 14-minute drive. I think we made it in like 10 or 12. And when we got there, there was a lot of police and fire and ambulances at the front of her subdivision. We thought, oh, great. This is not Liz's house. This is her subdivision. Maybe something happened in the neighborhood. And then an EMS worker directed us back to the house. And that's when we saw the crime scene tape surrounding it. We got out and started trying to find out what had happened.
None of it is making any sense to me, Rosemary. With me, mom and dad, Bob and Rosemary Nelly, along with her widow, Sergio. Rosemary, so often I get the same thing. I get a notice that the home alarm has been tripped. And I typically think, oh, my fill in the blank, my mother who lives with us, 92 years old, set it off. The dog, the cat, the this, the that. That's what you immediately think. Rosemary Nelly, what went through your mind when you guys got the notification the alarm in your daughter's house had been tripped?
Well, we got the alert first on the phone, which is just a text. And it, you know, showed that her alarm had been triggered. So immediately I called her number and she did not answer. And that did alarm me when she didn't answer. I was thinking, okay, maybe she had just accidentally set the alarm off. And then when I found that she wasn't answering the phone, like I said, I immediately got very concerned. And you're hoping that, okay, maybe something happened to a neighbor or something, and, you know, I don't know what, it didn't, and it still doesn't make sense. We could only just go over there and find out, which could be because she was not answering her phone. And then, like Bob said, the alarm company actually did call us. I said that she didn't pick up her phone. And they asked if they should call the police. And I said yes, because she would always answer her phone in that kind of situation. And I know she would. So, we just headed over.
This is what happened. Listen.
Right at 7 a.m., both Sergio Barraza and Elizabeth's parents receive a notification that the house alarm has been tripped and Elizabeth isn't answering security team's calls. Bob and Rosemary Nelly arrive at the home minutes before Sergio Barraza and learn Harris County constables tripped the alarm because their daughter had been shot.
Oh, my stars. Video of the suspect's car driving by. You can hear Elizabeth say good morning. Then there's a few seconds of unintelligible conversation. You hear gunshots and you hear Elizabeth screaming. Andy Kahn joining me, Director of Victim Services and Advocacy, Crime Stoppers Houston. Andy, thank you for being with us. I've played this over and over and over in my mind, and I don't like playing that sound because I know that is precisely when Elizabeth Liz loses her life, right there. But what do we learn, Andy? My job is to try to seek justice and give Elizabeth all I can give her now, and that is justice. What do you hear? What does that tell you, Andy? You and I have gone over a million murder cases. Weigh in.
The only thing that I can equate what happened to Liz Barraza was like watching a scene from The Sopranos, where you have somebody that would drive up, get out of the car, bang, 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 run back in and hit. I mean, it's an obvious hit. Like you said earlier, she's setting up for a garage sale. Not even the false pretenses of trying to take an item, pretending that it was a robbery, and come back and make sure that Liz is dead. In my long career, this is one of the most puzzling and frustrating cases, because you have just little to go on other than a make of a car and the fact that this happened about 6:45 in the morning. So from where I sit, I'm wondering, how did this person know that Liz was setting up for a garage sale? It wasn't like it was publicized. You had to know at that exact moment in time that Liz was going to be out there in order for you to commit this cold-blooded murder of Liz. So I've gotten to know, you know, Bob, Rosemary, Sergio over the last 5 years, and it's one of the most frustrating cases that I've ever been personally involved with.
Guys, we are also showing you a neighbor's surveillance video. Let's play it from the top. This is critical, and I'm surprised this can't be enhanced a little bit more. You see the shooter walk up. He walks up to her. They have a brief, like, hello, hello. And then the shooting goes down and the perp leaves. You know, another thing I'm trying to determine, Andy Kahn joining us, Director of Victim Services, are we sure the perp is a man?
No, we're not. And that's another confusing part. We don't know if it's male or female, whether this person was wearing a disguise or not. So that's another frustrating factor in this. But you can see by the video how deliberate this was, and the fact that this person is standing over Liz while she's shot on the ground to ensure that she is dead must send out chills to everyone. And I you know, we've done everything that we possibly can to get this out to the public, and I want to thank you personally, Nancy, for putting this out to a broader audience, because right now grief is intensified when justice is lacking, and sadly, justice is lacking for Bob, Rosemary, Sergio, or a legion of friends And I'm not going to quit until we get this case solved, but it's maddening.
Bob Benelli joining me. This is Liz Barraza's dad, along with her mom, Rosemary, and then husband, Sergio. To you, Bob, it looks to me like a woman.
I've watched this footage so many times, and over the course of 5.5 years, I've come to both conclusions, male and female. It's so frustrating not being able to tell more from that video.
Well, it seems that the clothing is somewhat flowing. Okay, you know what? Let me go to Sergio. I didn't mean to keep you waiting, Sergio. With me is not only Bob and Rosemary Nelly. This is something very rare where the female victim's parents join with the then husband searching for justice. Sergio, tell us what happened that morning to your recollection.
Well, that morning just started off by Liz and I just starting our day normally. She left early that morning to go get coffee, return back to the home. We started preparing for the garage sale. I helped her with a few big items. I was even a little bit late for work to make sure I could help her with everything I could.
Where do you work?
I was a contractor at the time, a hardwood flooring contractor. So I would meet my employees at different locations and just pick them up there and we'd go to work. So I was heading to, when I left her, I just headed to the nearest construction shop nearby. And I was there when I got the notification, and it was kind of crazy. I was like, what's going on? That I had just left. I thought maybe an accident happened in front of the house. Maybe Liz was trying to help because she's just that kind of person who immediately would just try to do the right thing and do good stuff. So I thought she was just busy trying to be helpful. And then I saw a police officer cross the camera. And I tried to ask them for information, and they told me to come to the home. Something had happened to my wife, and I needed to be there. I tried to get information, but I was just told to make it to the home. And when I made it to the home, I could see that there was blood in the driveway, and I was just in complete shock because I was hoping that wasn't Liz's blood.
Surveillance video captures the moment 29-year-old Elizabeth Barraza is shot 4 times outside of her home.
What happened to Liz? Are we any closer to figuring out who murdered this young woman? She's in the prime of her life. Why? Why does she end up dead just outside her own garage? You know, one thing I noticed, if I could see the photo of them dressed up in Renaissance outfits, these two seemingly meant for each other. They say that they were both attracted to all things nerdy, and that includes dressing up in different outfits, always matching. Okay, there's one, a Star Wars outfit. They did so much together. To Sergio Barraza, this is Liz's now widow. Sergio, tell me about your relationship with her.
To me, it was a storybook relationship. We had the most amazing time together. We met in college and immediately were attracted to one another. We started off as friends and over time just became a couple and just started to do so much together. We did charity work together. We did a whole bunch of nerdy like Comic-Con stuff together. We did all the parks in Florida and traveled together. It was just the most amazing time and some of the best moments of my life have been with her. And when this happened, it completely shattered that life I had with her. It was just out of the blue this happened. One night you're watching Netflix and movies with your spouse, the next day you're at a hospital. It's just something out of an alternate universe that I feel like I was thrown into.
Sergio, how long had you been married?
We'd been married for, we were about to hit our 5-year anniversary, but we had been together for 10 years. And it was just amazing to be with her.
Sergio Barraza, this is Liz's husband. You stated that you were going to, you're in wood flooring and you were a contractor going to meet who and where?
My employees that I worked with at a construction shop nearby.
They were open at 7 in the morning?
Yes, it was like a Lowe's. So They open at 6 a.m. or so.
And I do not want to be blunt at all, Sergio, but do your employees confirm that meeting?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. You know, Sergio, whether we like it or not, the first person that police look at is the husband. Why? It's not about you. It's nothing personal to you. It's statistically. So the more quickly you can answer what the police want to know, the more quickly they will move on, hopefully, to another suspect. So please forgive me for seeming curt, okay? But I, like police,
I completely understand.
Want to find out who did this to Liz. Rosemary, is this your only child or does Liz have siblings?
She has one brother who is a little bit older, a few years older than
so
she is.
This is your only girl, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
I have one girl, one baby girl, and my whole world rises, my sun rises and sets in that little girl, let me tell you. Okay, let me understand something. Quirly Peel, let me ask you, KPRC2, tell me what you've learned about that morning.
Well, based on conversations I've had with Liz's parents and investigators, it seemed like a normal morning. She went out, she had Starbucks, she was getting ready for that garage sale, and she was doing that garage sale to get a little bit of extra pocket money because she and Sergio were planning on celebrating their anniversary. They were planning a trip to Florida, so this is something that she would do just to get a little extra pocket money. Nothing seemed unusual. But after that shooting, news outlets immediately released that surveillance video, hoping to find out who that shooter might be, if there was any type of recognition from that video. But no one seemed to come forward with a description of that shooter.
Joining me now is Sergeant Michael Ritchie, Harris County Homicide Investigator, the lead investigator in Liz's murder. Sergeant, thank you so much for being with us. I know you've looked at this video a million times. It looks to me like the shooter is actually wearing some type of flowing attire. Do you think it's a woman?
When I initially saw the video, I did think it was a woman. But then, of course, looking at the video numerous times, again and again, I could see that it could possibly be a man and just trying to disguise their identity and disguise their build. As you can tell, they're wearing some type of boots. They're wearing a coat. It's possibly a wig that they're wearing, or it could be real hair. So in all of the interviews and press conferences I've done in the past, I've never confirmed or never chose or decided whether it's male or female, because it could be either or. Just reiterating, when I initially saw the video for the first time that morning, I did think it was a woman. But again, I've always stated too, with how long this case is going on and how many different curveballs I've been thrown, it could definitely be a man just as easy as a woman.
Back to Andy Kahn joining us, who has handled so many homicide cases. He's joining us out of Houston. I'm sure you recall the case of Marlene Warren. A clown came to her door. A woman dressed as a clown comes to her door with carnations and balloons and shoots her dead in front of her son. As it turns out, it was Sheila Keene Warren, the husband's lover, dressed as a clown. Now, I'm thinking about what Sergeant Ritchie is saying, and this is not casting doubt on Sergio. What I'm saying is, what you mentioned earlier, Andy, who knew Who knew that she was having a yard sale?
You know, Nancy, you're exactly correct. I mean, that's why everyone is under the assumption this was a direct hit. Obviously, this isn't random. You're not driving around a neighborhood at 6:45 in the morning and all of a sudden you see somebody setting up for a garage sale and you're going to decide, I'm going to park it out and shoot somebody and kill them without taking anything. That's what is so frustrating about this. And that's what my initial thought was, this is like right out of The Sopranos right here. So we're going on 5+ years right now. Crime Stoppers, along with Bob, Rosemary, and Sergio, we have enhanced this reward now several times. Right now, we're offering an up to a $50,000 reason, up to 50000. I'm giving you 50,000 reasons to let us know who this person is. And we know somebody out there knows something. The public is our best eyes and ears out there. You cannot tell me that this was just a singular random act of somebody shooting her. So we're asking the public to step forward, contact Crime Stoppers, and you can be eligible for an up to $50,000 reward.
A suspect's vehicle caught on tape. Surveillance shows the shooter's truck right before and after the murder.
I'm going to go to Sergeant Michael Ritchie joining us, Harris County Homicide lead investigator in Liz's case. Tell me about that vehicle. What make and model?
Well, one of the known facts of this case, which are very few, is the vehicle that was used. Again, watching several videos that we got from several different houses in the neighborhood, we were able to determine that the suspect used a Nissan Frontier, a black four-door truck, and the model was a Pro 4X. We believe it was black, possibly dark blue, but most likely black. And again, we have video of it. We were able to speak to a witness that confirmed it was that type of vehicle. And as you're looking at that picture there, there's a decal that goes near the rear of the vehicle, near that taillight along the bed of the truck that will say Pro 4X. That's kind of like a green and white color. And during our investigation and watching several clips of different videos, we were able to determine that it was that type of truck and see the decal outline and know that it was that. I also had a Nissan salesman look at the video, and he was able to confirm that he thought it was a Pro 4X or Desert Runner. He mentioned that it looked like a four-wheel drive. It had kind of some of the bells and whistles on it, such as GPS and the running lights, and it looked like a 4x4. So he was able to educate me a little bit better on this vehicle. And so, again, we believe it was a black four-door Nissan Frontier Pro 4X. And I believe the years we were looking for was probably a 2012 at the oldest to a 2019.
Okay, let's talk about what we just heard. Straight out to Andy Kahn joining us, and everybody jump in. If you know anything about trucks, which I assume everybody does, Andy Kahn, there is a difference in the way the truck looks if it's a four-wheel drive. The truck actually looks differently, and it sits differently than a non-four-wheel drive. If you got a four-wheel, the truck looks bigger just because of the positioning. So what I don't get, and maybe this was done, and Sergeant, jump in and tell me what happened. There are ways, I've done it and I've seen it done, to go through vehicle registration to find out how many of those are sold, how many are of those are in the system in that area at that time. You do it through insurance, you do it in all sorts of manners. But was that done here? Because that's pretty specific. A black Nissan Frontier, four-door, Pro 4X, that's four-wheel drive. Because, look, there's just so many things to distinguish it. You got a four-wheel on a truck. You got four-wheel drive on a truck. you've got even the years, somewhere between 12 and 19. Help me out, Andy.
Hey, let me ask Sergeant Ritchie. I mean, I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've pretty much exhausted and you've looked at all the make and the vehicles who's purchased, who's driven around the area. You had to ensure that there was nobody going to be around when you got out of the vehicle to shoot and kill Liz. So you can't just tell me you just drove up at that specific time. I'm assuming that there had to be some sort of case. You drove around, make sure that this was being done. You made sure that you carried out the plot. Let's be real. This is intentional. It was a hit. It was well planned. We have the make of the vehicle. What is the motive for killing Liz? Was it insurance money?
Okay, hey, what we call that under the law, a complex question. So one question at a time. What did you do, Sergeant Ritchie, to find the vehicle?
So when I saw this video, I initially thought we were going to have that solved today. I really felt that the family or the husband was going to tell me, yes, we have a problem with a certain person. They drive a Nissan Frontier because it just seems so deliberate. But that wasn't the case. That night, that day, that the court, again, occurred early in the morning. We were out there all morning, afternoon, and evening, canvassing the entire neighborhood for different video that had captured the vehicle besides the one that we're seeing right now. So with looking at all of the video, I also have contacts with the Texas Rangers and the FBI. And a ranger that I had known through other investigations gave me registrations of all the Nissan Frontiers in that area and other surrounding areas in Harris County and Montgomery County. So I initially thought that Nissan Frontiers were not really a very popular or common vehicle. But once seeing those registrations, I realized that there was a lot of them out there.
They're very popular. They're very popular.
Well, in Texas, everything's big in Texas. That's more of a smaller type truck.
Oh, yeah, this is more of a smaller truck. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. A lot of Texas guys and girls like to drive the bigger four-door full-size trucks rather than those smaller trucks.
Could it have been a rental vehicle?
We looked into rentals, and what I found out, what I was told, was that there were companies, most companies did not rent out those vehicles. But we did look into it, and it came up with nothing. Another thing with the video, of course, there's no license plate visible. Even if they did have a legit license plate, most likely it's fictitious. We see that a lot in these type of situations.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of quick questions, Sergeant Ritchie.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you try to have the video enhanced? Yes, no?
Yes.
Did it work?
No.
Could you try it again since technology has improved?
Yes, we're currently working on that right now.
Do you have the bullets?
A revolver was used. We do not have casings, but we do have some of the projectiles, yes, that were shot.
So then, simply put, yes. Have they been entered into the National Ballistics Database?
Yes.
When was the last time they were entered?
I would not be able to know. That wouldn't be a question for me. That would be for the Harris County Institute of Forensic Sciences.
And also, regarding the bullets, you're saying you had no shells. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. There was no casings. Therefore, we believe a revolver was used. A revolver does not eject casings when it's fired. Like a semi-automatic, if you use a semi-automatic with a magazine, it will eject casings as you fire it. So, you know, definitely semi-automatic handguns are more common these days than revolvers. So, again, just with a revolver being used, in my opinion, this is just another tactic used by the shooter to try to, hide their identity and who they are and what weapon was used with no casings being able to be collected.
Elizabeth Barraza's shooter dressed in disguise and used a revolver to leave no trace behind.
To Sergio Barraza, this is Liz's then husband. Sergio, you heard me earlier talking about how you guys would dress up in play, as you refer to all things nerdy. And the reason I'm asking that is because I believe the perp was dressed up as well. I also think the perp may very well have been a woman. We've seen over and over, which I'm going to go over with Andy Kahn in a moment, video of Missy Beaver's killer who has the gait of a female. But let me ask you something, Sergio, and again, thank you for being with us. The pickup truck that was captured on surveillance video nearby shortly before you left for work, in other words, it was lying, the driver was lying in wait. Investigators believe the shooter may have been waiting for you to leave to make sure Liz was alone. Did you have any sense of a car, a vehicle, a truck in wait?
No, ma'am. Whenever I left for work, it was just like a normal day for us. Liz was set up for that garage sale, and I was just headed to work like a normal day. I wasn't looking for anything suspicious or anything. I just headed out.
Tell me about some of the events at which you guys dressed up. There's Star Wars photos. There's Harry Potter photos. I see what I believe to be a Renaissance Festival photo. What other events would you attend at which you would dress up?
We would go to children's hospitals to visit kids there to cheer them up. We would go to community events all in Houston area. We would also, like you said, go to like the Renaissance Festival for fun, just all around, just to have a good time throughout the community and helping kids out. That's what we enjoyed and loved to do together.
Did you ever dress up with other people? Did you have a group surrounding you?
Yes, we were a part of a charity group that they have a community across the world, honestly, that does community events like this for Star Wars and the communities that they're in. And we all kind of communicate and travel around, meet each other and help each other out through these events and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
I'm leading up to something about the charity. Listen.
I leave and I just saw on the camera this vehicle pulls up and turns around, I guess right there, and then like I don't hear anything for a second, and then I just hear the four shots and her scream, and that's it. I can show you the vehicle. No, I've never seen the vehicle ever. The only thing I can think of is this. I don't even want to consider it that because it's we're a part of a charity group and we're going through these little election things. And there's a couple people that just don't get along with us, but I'm not enough to come over and shoot my wife.
Sergio, what are you talking about?
At the time we're in the group we're in, like I was saying, there's just elections for officers within the community. I mean, within the charity group. And as elections go, there's like discussions and arguments that happen. And at the time, that's what was happening. But like I said, I don't believe anyone in this group would ever hurt anyone like this. This is a group for good that does charity, that does such good work.
But immediately that sprang to mind. And I found very often that in moments of clarity, we come up with very, very, let me just say, probative ideas. Listen.
Oh, my God. You said yeah, we're part of a group called the 501st Legion. It's a Star Wars charity group, man. We help out kids and stuff. I really think this was just some robbing her for $100.
Well, at this point, probably stuff. How much do you know how much money she had?
She had $100 in cash.
Okay.
Yeah, little
you know
cash.
It was
lockbox. Yeah, we had a code and everything so she could be safe.
So again, people within the charity seemed to be on your mind at the time. And what were you saying about elections?
Like I said, it was a during that time, every year we have different elections to have officers within the charity who help organize it. And at that time.
Okay, so the elections for that. Let me ask you very quickly, and I'm trying to get as much evidence as I can in as quickly as I can. Have you taken a polygraph?
Yes.
Have you taken one or two polygraphs?
I believe it was only one. Yes, it was one.
Did you pass the polygraph?
When I spoke to Detective Ritchie, he told me I had.
Is that true, Sergeant Ritchie?
Yes, he did take a polygraph. Again, I'm not the one that conducted it.
Okay, fine. He took the polygraph. Do you know if he passed it?
Yes.
Okay, and very quickly, back to you, Sergio Barraza. When you're speaking earlier, you say, I saw on the camera this vehicle pulls up, turns around, right there. I don't hear anything, and then I hear four shots. You go on to describe money in a lockbox. Was the money taken?
No.
Bob and Roseberry Nelly are with us as Liz's parents. Bob, what do you think?
Well, if you look at the video where this animal shot and killed my beautiful daughter, there's no time for them to take anything. They didn't touch anything. They walked up, talked to her, shot her four times, and then like a coward, ran away. And there's no justification in the world for anyone to be murdered. But there's specifically no justification for my daughter because she was a good actor. She was not involved in anything shady or anything that would have brought her in conflict with the law. It's just puzzling. It's frustrating. It just doesn't seem real.
Sergeant Ritchie, yes or no, did you guys try to glean security video from red lights, video from red lights, traffic cams, other homes, businesses just outside their subdivision to see the vehicle coming in or out?
Yes.
Where'd the vehicle come from?
A road called Kirkendall that's outside the neighborhood.
Did you see that on video?
Yes.
Could you enhance the video?
That video, no. The video that you see is pretty much the best video that we found throughout that entire neighborhood. And there's a few others that we got from other homes that we released to the media that was shown on the local news shortly after the murder.
Corley Peel, KPRC2, what more do we know?
At this point, there's still not a lot because at the five-year anniversary, we released, the latest details about the case, that detectives are still searching for Liz Barraza's killer. But still, no one seems to have any real hard information about who did this to her. So as a news outlet, we continue, bringing light to her case, bringing the latest information. But as of right now, it still seems to be a bit of a standstill.
To Rosemary Nelly, this is Liz's mother. Rosemary, what do you think?
Well, it's very frustrating, to say the least. I do think it was a hit. I do think it was planned. I just can't figure out the motive. The motive is not something that I just can't imagine somebody just doing this to her. She was a sweet woman. I mean, I just do believe that was a hit. I don't know why they would have done this to her.
Guys, there is a $50,000 reward. $50,000 in the search for Liz's killer. The tip line, 713-222-TIPS, 713-222-8477. Please bring peace to her family. I want to thank all of our guests for being with us, especially Liz's widow and her parents. Nancy Gray signing off. Goodbye, friend.